Our topic tonight is the medical conspiracy. Now, before I even introduce a speaker, before we even get started, let me just say I'm not against, nor is your speaker, against the medical establishment. Nor are we against doctors, nor are we against surgery and things like that. There are things that they do that are very, very helpful. They save a lot of people's lives. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is evil, wherever it may be found. Be it behind a pulpit in a church, or be it behind a radio mic, or be it behind a television camera, or be it at the doctor's office. And what we're going to be discussing tonight is some evil that does exist in the American medical system. Obviously, if we're the world's richest nation, so they say, then we should be the healthiest people. And yet, we're among the sickest. As a matter of fact, at this very moment, I'm battling some kind of bronchitis that is trying to get the victory. And I say that the herbs and the vitamins are going to get the victory along with Jesus. Amen. So we're always battling something, it seems like, in America. So your speaker tonight is a nutritional herbologist. He's been studying herbs for some 30 years. He's a certified natural health professional and a doctor of naturopathy. He's going to reveal how the ruling elite stole healing and medicine from the church and set up an evil cabal, an evil medical establishment, to withhold cures and to reduce the population. Oh, they certainly wouldn't do that. Well, what does the Bible say about the devil? He comes not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He's going to explain the iron triangle, how the Federal Drug Administration, the drug companies, and the medical schools collude together to control your health. And he's also going to teach you how herbs can be a superfood to strengthen your immune system, to make up for what is lacking in your diet. Will you help me welcome Bill Snevlin? Welcome, Bill.
Thanks. Well, it's once again great to be here. Praise God. This is a little bit different kind of subject matter than what I usually talk about. And in a way, I'm delighted that the Lord released me to be able to talk about some of this because It's actually a very personal subject for me, and I think if you think about it, it is for all of us, because our health is personal. I mean, if we're sick, basically, it takes some of the joy out of our life, it makes us less effective as witnesses, as soldiers, if you will, in the struggle that we're all in, because we understand we are talking about spiritual warfare. And so what the devil wants to do, as Stan says, is keep us sick, is keep us under the weather. And in my personal situation, as many of you may know, I spent many years as a witch before I was saved. And a lot of people, they think witch, they think herbs, you know, witches do herbs. And there's a lot of truth in that, certainly. Now, after I got saved, some Christians were telling me, well, herbs are evil, and vitamins are evil, and they're part of witchcraft, and you shouldn't take them anymore. And I actually had this one Pentecostal preacher pray for me to be set free from the spirit of pharmacopoeia, which is, you know, it's the Greek word for, I don't know, it's where we get our word pharmacy. But if you look in the Old Testament, where in Exodus it says, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live, well, in the supposed Old Testament, the word is pharmacopoeia there, or pharmakia, which means one who deals in poisons. That's what the word actually means. So, anyhow, you can tell that to your pharmacist next time you see him. So I got rid of all of this stuff that I was doing, because I was actually in reasonably good health. I was kind of a health nut, and I went to the health food store and was taking vitamins and niacin and herbs and stuff. And so as I was, and then when I got especially into full-time ministry, because ministry is taxing. It's very demanding physically. And I started getting sick a lot. I mean, I was getting the flu, and I was getting a cold a couple times a year, and I was just generally feeling kind of draggy. And then in 1993, I got kidney stones, which was no fun. And so I started kind of rethinking this stuff, and I began to realize that herbs, I mean, it says in the Bible, in Genesis, that God gave us herbs to be meat. You know, that it's part of what God gave us. I mean, obviously, if the Lord made it, it says that he made everything good. So right off the bat, I thought there's something wrong with this idea that all these things are wrong or are satanic. So we did a lot of study, my wife and I. We spent literally years researching these issues and came to understand that actually there's a healthy biblical way to live according to the Bible that involves eating what God gives us and not eating man-made garbage. The other thing that happened was a crisis in my life was that my father went through the grindings of the medical system. I mean, he lived his whole life in relatively good health, especially for someone who smoked, and really lived to a fairly vigorous early 80s. And then all of a sudden, he started getting heart pains. And so what did they say? Oh, well, you've got to have an angioplasty. And of course, that's the thing where they stick a balloon down into whatever artery or vein is being, you know, blocked, and they blow up the balloon, and what that's supposed to do is kind of gush or smash the whatever's blocking the vein into the wall of the artery and open it up. It's slightly like a Roto-Rooter, but not really. And like almost everybody who has an angioplasty, within a year, he had to have coronary bypass surgery. He had to have a quadruple bypass. And that really, that's a very arduous procedure. It's not one I would really recommend anybody go through. Because, they saw open your chest. They basically take a vein out of your leg and try to put it in your heart. And within 9 months, he was dead. After that, he got cancer. And the last maybe week, 10 days of his life, he was in just horrible pain. And there wasn't a lot they could do. Because, see, the FDA forbids doctors from giving a certain amount of cocaine, morphine, to patients, because they might get addicted, even if they're terminal. I mean, you know, if you're going to be dead in a week, who cares if you get addicted to morphine if it's taking away your pain and allowing you to die with dignity? So I was really upset, you know, when I saw, and, you know, it wasn't that the doctors and the nurses weren't doing their best, but they were limited by the strictures that were placed upon them by their profession, by the government, and so on. And, you know, I told my wife, I says, I'm going to write a book and call it Medicine's Temple of Doom. You know, and she says, no, wait a little bit on that. Don't write a book when you're angry. And so I just started researching this, and that was in 97. And really, this talk, in a way, is about a lot of that. Because since I started getting back on herbs, you know, and things like that, and living in a natural way that I believe is clearly outlined in the Bible, I have not been sick really since about 1995. I haven't had a cold. I haven't had a flu. I'm really in very good health, generally speaking. I did have a return of the kidney stones, but you see, they say once you get those once, you're going to keep getting them. So since that time, I've learned, and it's funny, I've learned how to deal with them the second time around. And if you're interested, you just take a lot of hydrangea root and gravel root, which is also known as queen of the meadow, and that softens the stones, so you can, and I passed them without any pain. They didn't even tickle. So praise the Lord. Anyway. So we're going to talk tonight about the fight that's gone on since the dawn of time between two separate ways of dealing with medicine. And one of them is godly and one of them is not. So let's do a little bit of history here, if I can have your indulgence. Western medicine, almost everybody agrees, and of course there's a whole other branch of medicine from the Far East, Chinese medicine, Indian medicine, but we aren't going to get into that because it would make this all too long and complex. In the West, medicine began in Egypt. And it was interesting because it started out as fairly systematic, but it was also fairly superstitious. It fell to the priesthood. And you'll find this in many, many cultures, is that the religious people, you know, whether Christian or not, were in charge of the healing. And that makes sense because a lot of different cultures, including the Bible, tell us that healing comes from God. So why not have the healing be in the hands of the spiritual people? Anyway, the problem is that they had all these rules written down. And what would happen is if a doctor had a patient and he did something other than what was in the rule book to the patient, and that patient died, they'd execute the doctor. So this kind of inhibited their ability to come up with new approaches, new ideas. It took away their creativity. And as it says there, it was very superstitious and very dogmatic. Often they would do diagnoses by, you know, cutting up an animal and looking at the entrails or something and then say, aha, you have this disease, you know, or based on if the patient laid on the right side, then it was a certain kind of disease. If they laid on the left side, it was another kind. So it wasn't real scientific. It remained for the Greeks to really take medicine and make a science out of it in the West. Their civilization, they valued learning, and they created a professional caste of physicians. And of course, the most famous of them is Hippocrates, who probably many of you have heard of because you hear about the Hippocratic Oath that doctors used to take and things like that. So Hippocrates is, even by the medical establishment, he is regarded as the father of modern medicine. And he was a very astute observer of human nature and of the nature in general. And he, from these observations, he was able to do a tremendous amount of good. He really revolutionized medicine, took it away from superstition, and brought it in the realms of science. And he's the one who coined the term that we're going to look at in a few minutes called vitalist. Because that's what I am, a vitalist. And I'll explain what that means in a few minutes. He also came up with a primary dictum of healing. Above all, do no harm. That was the primary, you know, rule. If you see the Hippocratic Oath, that's the number one rule in the Hippocratic Oath. Interestingly enough, now this is why they don't take the Hippocratic Oath anymore in medical school. It's also, there's a line in there about, I will give my patient no poisonous substances. And another one is I will not give any woman a substance.